Board of Supervisor meeting. Today is January 31st. The time is 9:01 a.m. I'm going to ask everyone to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm going to ask Deputy Keys to lead us in that, and then remain standing for the invocation, where Reverend, my brother Marvin Jacobo, with City Ministries Network, will lead us in a prayer.
Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please pray with me. Master, we thank you for this incredible country, its blemishes and all. Thank you for the beauty of it. Thank you that you have placed us and given us the blessings of freedom of speech and the freedom to assemble, the freedom of religion, and so many other freedoms that sometimes we take for granted. We ask that you'd remind us often to cherish these freedoms by being active participants in them for ourselves, for the sake of all those who might not have the opportunity and the privilege to be even here today. Thank you for our representatives who have taken on the task to represent the least of us in this community, in this county. Give them wisdom and skill as they navigate troubling waters at times, but may this responsibility of leadership be a joy for them. And we ask, Lord, today that this proceeding would be held in a spirit of mutual respect and mutual civility, whether we agree with each other or we not. May there be a spirit of respect amongst all of us this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Jacobo. Deputy Keys, appreciate it. So first, before we get started, I just wanted to let everyone know that I had received a call from Supervisor Olson. She's having car troubles and is excused, and she might make it, she might not make it. So, on to item three. We have a presentation today, a report on the dairy industry sustainability efforts by Dairy Cares, and Michael Bocadero with Dairy Cares Executive Director. Welcome.
Thank you. As always, we appreciate the opportunity. We are trying to make the rounds and just talk a little bit. I'll be brief. We've provided each of you copies of our most recent sustainability report. Dairy Cares has been working now for over 15 years, with the entire dairy industry in California on sustainability issues. And it was formed with a very simple mission in mind, and that is to ensure the long-term sustainability of the industry. We have a unique partnership with Stanislaus County and the other counties here in the San Joaquin Valley, and we appreciate the support we get. Our mission is becoming increasingly difficult, though, as you're well aware. We're facing increasing regulation for air quality, water quality, greenhouse gases, and animal welfare, and that has led to the loss of many dairies in California. We're down below 1,400 dairies for the first time in a long time. It was over 2,000 not too many years ago. We've lost 53 dairies in the first 6 months of this year in California alone. We don't have final numbers on the full year's effort. Despite facing increased regulation, the industry has a very positive story to tell. For example, we're through productivity and feed efficiency gains, we're producing every gallon of milk with two-thirds less water today than we did 70 years ago. And so that's a tremendous accomplishment in and of itself. As this quote from Syed Sadruddin at the Air Pollution Control District here in the San Joaquin Valley, we have an equally effective track record as it relates to air quality, and we've reduced smog-forming emissions by dairy farms by over 30% in California. From a renewable energy standpoint, dairies are increasingly turning to renewable energy. Many dairies in the San Joaquin Valley have installed large solar systems. One pictured here is a full megawatt on a local dairy, and for each of those projects going in, it's the equivalent of taking about 300 passenger cars off the road, and we'll continue to see this trend. These projects are very positive for the dairies. They pay for themselves in a relatively short period of time, and so the industry has been stepping up and providing that. On the water quality side, the industry's got also a very positive story to tell. Our dairies in California operate under the most comprehensive water quality regulations anywhere in the nation, and we're going to be making some additional recommendations to the Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board about additional steps that the industry will be taking sometime in 2019 and beyond. And we have also formed the Central Valley Dairy Representative Monitoring Program, which is by far the most comprehensive of anywhere in the nation. It includes more than 443 monitoring wells and 42 dairies throughout the Central Valley of California, and provides us with very significant and positive information about protecting water quality. From a greenhouse gas standpoint, the industry, like those in other parts of North America, we're seeing some significant improvements. The dairy industry here in California has among the lowest carbon footprints per gallon of milk or glass of milk produced anywhere in the country. We've shrunk that carbon hoofprint, as we like to say in the dairy industry, by over 63% in the past 70 years, and that's a pretty compelling story in and of itself. The dairy industry has also been at the forefront of animal welfare and well-being. We were the first state in the nation to initiate the National Dairy Farm Program, and we're working towards having every dairy in the valley evaluated for its animal welfare practices. And then our commitment to the community. I think that probably the most important part, as you well recognize here in Stanislaus County, and it's true throughout the San Joaquin Valley, the industry is a major employer with over 190,000 jobs and $65 billion in economic activity. We've probably reached a peak. We don't see that the industry is going to be expanding in California much in the future. We don't see opportunity for that, but we hope to maintain what we have and continue to keep the dairy industry sustainable. For more information, I'm happy to answer any questions. You've got a copy of the brochure. We've got our website. We're at www.dairycares.com, and there's a sustainability video series that's up on that website as well. And I'm happy to answer any questions, but let me just say thank you. We appreciate the relationship we have here in Stanislaus County. We still feel appreciated here in the San Joaquin Valley. That's not always true in Sacramento these days, but we do feel appreciated here. So happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Are there any questions, Michael? I would offer up, again, the importance of dairy to the valley, to our economy. You look at in Houston, there's a creamery in Turlock, or cheese, but right. That utilizes milk, and it's an important jobs component. And much like we talk about, you talk about nitrogen management, water quality management, what we're doing in farming in general is so far superior, and I know it's because of efforts like yours and the Water Coalition coming together to realize. I look at my dad as a first-generation farmer. He has a very tough time understanding the regulatory process. Once you get there, you understand how to do it right, how to do it better, and I think that's what you're showing us, and I appreciate you coming in today.
Appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay, the next presentation, item B, is to proclaim February 2017 as Black History Month in Stanislaus County. And Mr. Johnson always has something great to say. Welcome, Frank.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman, Supervisors. Normally, I would start off and say such a tremendous moment has left me speechless. Thank you very much, and go sit down, but I won't do that.
We wouldn't expect that.
Oh, okay. I'd like to talk about something that's pretty much in the community everywhere right now, and that's Kathleen Johnson, a mathematician. She's a African-American. She was called a computer skirt. But I'm not going to elaborate on her. I'm going to let the vice president of the Stanislaus County branch of the NAACP. Oh, my name is Frank Johnson. I'm the president of the NAACP.
Thank you, Frank. Can everyone hear me?
Beautifully.
I tend to have a soft voice. My name is Jocelyn Cooper, And the newly appointed Vice President for the NAACP, Modesto Stanislaus County. And I have the pleasure this morning of introducing you to a black woman named Katherine G. Johnson, a living legend who is a notable figure in black history. Her contributions to history has only become public knowledge since the movie titled Hidden Figures. Katherine Johnson was born on August 26, 1918, in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. Her gift of numbers allowed her to skip several grades. She entered high school at the age of 13. She enrolled at West Virginia State, now West Virginia University, where she met Dr. William Clater, who was the third African American to receive or earn a PhD. Dr. Clater recognized Katherine G. Johnson's math ability and became her mentor. He took it upon himself to prepare her to become a research mathematician. Katherine G. Johnson, in 1937, graduated summa cum laude from the West Virginia University with a degree not only in mathematics but in French. And after graduation, she began teaching at a public school in Virginia. In 1939, West Virginia decided to integrate graduate schools. A Dr. John Davis at the West Virginia University selected Katherine G. Johnson as the only female, along with two black males, to enroll in the graduate math program. After completing and leaving graduate school, she returned to teaching until 1952. In 1952, there was an opportunity for black women to apply for the position at the National Advisory Committee to Astronauts, NACA, NACA. She was hired as a black woman to serve as a human computer, as they were so called at that time. And they were acting as clerical calculators for technological developments. In 1958, NACA became NASA, National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Katherine G. Johnson was moved to the Maneuver Loads branch of the Flight Research Division, responsible for analyzing data. Here is where she began her journey for her place in history. In May 1961, Katherine G. Johnson calculated the trajectory analysis for astronaut Adam Shepard, Mission Freedom 7, the first human space flight. In 1962, she prepared the orbital flight calculations for astronaut John Glenn. Katherine quotes John Glenn as saying, "If she," referring to Katherine, "if she says the figures are good, then I am ready." Katherine G. Johnson manually checked the computer calculations and concurred with the computer program. Only then did astronaut John Glenn agree to accept this mission. In 1969, she continued to make history with other missions, such as Apollo 2 and Apollo 13. In 1966, Katherine Johnson was the key NASA asset in developing the Space Shuttle program and the Earth Resource Satellite. Katherine G. Johnson has received several rewards. However, the most current and memorable are the President Medal of Freedom and NASA naming a facility at Langley as the Katherine G. Johnson Computational Research Facility. Katherine G. Johnson's role in historical accomplishments in history would go unnoticed if it wasn't for the movie Hidden Figures. Despite segregation and civil rights struggle, Katherine G. Johnson lived her dream and was able to use her mathematical capabilities to make major contributions to black and American history. In closing, I want to say it is my honor for me as a black woman to stand here and recognize this inspirational black woman, Katherine G. Johnson, at this board of supervisory meeting. Thank you.
Saving countless lives. Information that is always hidden. Don't see it much in the history books. State your name.
President Johnson, my name is Michelle Soto. And
please come to the mic.
I am with.
Come to the mic.
My name is Michelle Soto, and I am with the legal department with the NAACP. So we've been receiving complaints, and the people want more information about Kathleen Johnson.
Well, unless I call her on the phone, I don't know how I'm going to make that happen. Unless there's, is there someone here that knows more about NASA than I do?
Hey.
Oh, okay.
We have an astronaut with us. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you very much. How are you doing, esteemed Board of Supervisors? It's a pleasure to be here with you. And it's especially in celebration of Black History Month, and what more appropriate time frame to celebrate the contributions of this great individual, Kathleen Johnson, who basically paved the way for people like myself to be not only on the computational side of things, but also on the writing side of things. Because, you know, her work early in the late 50s and throughout the 60s and early 70s allowed these important trajectories that allowed us to get out of space and, more importantly, come in. Everybody knows that if you come in too shallow, you're going to bounce off just like a pebble on a pond when you throw it. You'll bounce off the atmosphere. You come in too hot, you're gonna burn up. So you have to have the exact calculations, and it was individuals as talented as Kathleen Johnson that were able to perform these calculations at the time when computers were not really invented or were not as robust as they are today. And again, I said that allowed people like myself to be able to even dream to want to become an astronaut, because growing up down the street here in Stockton, California, as a migrant farm worker, you know, it was a 10-year-old boy in 1972 watching the very last Apollo mission, Apollo 17, Gene Cernan walk on the moon, that really allowed me to dream to want to become an astronaut. And I am very convinced that people like Kathleen Johnson are the ones that made it possible. I'm hopeful that that we work with the NAACP so that we can have, you know, a few free showings of this important movie to our community. And I would be more than happy to offer my services in terms of before and after the movie to discuss these important achievements with our youth. But hopefully the board steps up and supports the NAACP to make these viewings possible, because I think this is what's going to motivate our kids, get them off the street, get them into the libraries and into the schools and work and become more productive, because once they see people like them that are successful, that's what motivates. That's the best motivation we can offer our youth. So once again, Board of Supervisors, Frank Johnson, NAACP, thank you very much for the honor of allowing me here to be here this morning to honor Kathleen Johnson. Thank you, appreciate it. And just for the record, I'm astronaut Jose Hernandez. Thank you.
And that concludes my 2-hour presentation. Thank you very much.
Not often that you get to see a real live astronaut. Space mission 128, 14-day mission, from what I remember, and also an advocate for the Children and Families Commission. I will tell you, I love those commercials. Thank you very much for coming, and I'll call you Astronaut Hernandez if that's okay. And Jocelyn, what a great story to hear some historical perspective. And Michelle,
yeah.
That's it. And Frank, it's always good. So everyone knows Frank, right? So Frank, when there's a problem, Frank lets you know about the problem. When something good happens in the community, Frank lets you know about the how something good has happened. And it's a two-way street, and that's why I've always appreciated talking with Frank about issues affecting our community. And so today we have a proclamation from the Board of Supervisors, and I'm never good at reading all of that, so I'll just read, whereas Black History Month is a time set aside to learn, honor, and celebrate the achievements of Black men and women throughout the history of America. Whereas the origin of Black History Month can be traced back to scholar Carter G. Woodson, who in 26 conceived of a yearly celebration to help rectify the omission of African Americans from history books. So, and I'm going to skip down to the bottom, therefore be it resolved that the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors does hereby proclaim February 2017 as Black History Month and urges all citizens, public officials, educators, and librarians to observe this month with appropriate programs, ceremonies, and activity. Hereby accepted, adopted the 24th day of January. That was when we adopted this, 2017. I appreciate you always coming in. This is always a great day for us. We celebrate different things, but this is one of the top. So I appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Always. I guess we should do this for a picture.
Come on over here.
Jocelyn. Hey, Jocelyn.
Get up. Come on. Michelle.
Great idea.
And where is Lori?
We're going to open this. We also have little Tyler sitting over here. Tyler, wave your hand. Thanks for coming in. There you go. All right, now we're going to move on to public comment period. It's a chance to speak on any item that's not on today's posted agenda. Remember, the board can't take on any action on anything. I have one speaker card, and it's from Catherine Borges.
Good morning, Supervisor, CEO Risen, and County Council Dering. My name is Catherine Borges, and I currently serve as chair of the Salida Municipal Advisory Council, aka Salida MAC. While not speaking on behalf of Salida MAC, I'd like to speak about Salida MAC. Salida MAC was founded July 31st, 1984, and our previous county supervisor, Jeff Grover, served on the first Salida MAC council. We've been told by former MAC council members that Salida MAC formed due to development pressure upon Salida. Since its founding, Salida MAC has experienced times where attendance has been really low, and at other times, hundreds have shown up for the more controversial topics like the proposed annexation of Salida. But what I want to point out here is that Salida MAC has been a consistent fixture and resource for our community. The citizens of Salida appreciate hearing from county departments and first responders about the issues that affect our community. If it wasn't for Salida MAC, we'd suffer from a gap in this communication. People move to Salida for that small town community feel. Our schools are top rated and a hometown spirit pervades our youth sports teams like Salida Little League and Salida Steelers. So while we're not a city and do not derive the benefits of being a city yet, at least we have Salida MAC to be a voice for our community for anything that transpires within our Salida community plan boundaries. You may have seen in the paper that Mayor Ted Brandvold is coming to Salida MAC tonight, and our MAC provides a conduit for this, and we welcome it. Knowing the important functions that Salida MAC fulfills, it's quite understandable why other unincorporated areas would welcome a similar voice as well. And as county constituents, we fully support that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Borges. Anyone else on public comment? I know I have a speaker card, but Carmen, you have B1. You want to talk on B1? Actually, I'll wait for the consent. Okay. Come on up and state your name for the record.
Okay.
Thanks.
You know, a Superior Court judge who's, I really loved one of his quotes, and he said, "Are you sure of your facts, or did you read it in the Modesto Bee?" Today's Bee has Jeff Jardine, and he has, maybe he's 1/4 right, but one of his comments is that last week, land use attorney George Petrolakis, an advisor to Mayor Brandvold, sent a letter, and I'm sure you're going to deal with that. George Petrolakis is more than an advisor who, at the time, Mr. Brandwald. Mr. Brandwald was recruited by George Petrolakis, and at a candidate forum, Mr. Brandwald informed me that he was recruited by George Petrolakis, but I'm not taking his help. Later on, at a women's forum, Mr. Brandwald at the time said that the race for mayor is nonpartisan. But we all know, Mr. DeMartini knows, that nothing could be further from the truth. There aren't very many nonpartisan elections here in Modesto. You also have the Chamber of Commerce. As an aside, Mr. Russell is here, and you know, I've run for office, not so much, you want to win, but you really want to be able to say what your side of the story is. So my questionnaire from the chamber was ignored, and I don't think my candidacy was even mentioned in their Progress magazine. So I understand why the chamber might be annoyed with my tenure as mayor. The little later on, after the primary, Mr. Brandwald came to me and wanted me to vote for him. And I said, no, I don't think so. Then he said, you know, I was persuaded to run for mayor. And I said, you know, now I'm pretty sure that Mr. Petrolakis is helping you, because he got you to change the word recruit to persuade. I tell you this, and you know this, and not enough people know it, because the Modesto Bee truly is a monopoly, and the job they do is okay with me, as long as they don't harm people. And this government, I'm sorry, but I hold you responsible. You keep your mouth shut, sorry I use that phrase, and you let the things go on that go on in this county. Now, on this wood colony thing, there's no doubt where the chamber is, and as long as we're on politics, I have to tell you, Supervisor Withrow, that you're going to get opposition. Your position on Wood Colony, the word on the street, Mr. Petrolakis, they have a favorite saying. They say, well, we'll take you out. So I don't know whether you want this job bad enough to do the wrong thing. I'd hope you'd want this job bad enough to do the right thing, that you don't need to be on the Board of Supervisors if you tell the truth. It's so much easier to tell the truth when you do the right thing. It's only when you are dishonest that you have to lie. So we in the backstory will be covering much more. We've applied for some grants. We've gotten some technical help. And the social media is, as our presidential election showed, is a way to overcome a monopolistic newspaper. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Sabatino. Anyone else for public comment? Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent calendar. Everything, would any board member like to pull any items? Comment on any items? Would any member of the public like to comment on any of the items? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Entertain a motion.
Motion to approve all non-consent items.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second.
Have a second. With a very quiet Supervisor DeMartini.
Nothing's got me riled up.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Thank you very much. We have no scheduled matters today. Correspondence. Clerk King.
This board has received a letter from the County Superintendent of Schools regarding the certification of the Houston Unified School District General Obligation Bond Election held on November 8, 2016.
Referred to the Auditor Controller.
This board has received a notice of hearing from the Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board regarding the salt and nitrate management plan for the Central Valley.
Referred to the Department of Environmental Resources and the Agricultural Commissioner and Sealer of Weights and Measures.
This board has received two letters from the California Fish and Game Commission regarding proposed regulatory action relating to the Central Valley salmon sport fishing and the receipt of a petition to list the foothill yellow-legged frog as threatened under the California Endangered Species Act.
Referred to the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received a letter from the Westside Community Healthcare District regarding their appointment to the Board of Directors.
Acknowledge receipt of the letter.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge the receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Okay, move on to Legislative Fiscal Management Report. CEO Risen.
No report this morning.
That is fantastic. And if there's nothing else for the good of the order, this meeting is adjourned.